Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, Janine Vosper here. Welcome to the We Are Women podcast. It is the Janine show today. It's so funny. Janine Fraser and I turn up to a lot of events. And even today I had someone go to me, Janine Fraser, welcome. No, it's the wrong Janine. I think we've confused people because our names are similar, Janine. I remember I was friends with a Janelle at school, and it was Janine and Janelle that we were always together, and people would get us confused as to who was who in the zoo. Let me tell you about this lady. She is a lady of very many talents with extensive knowledge in many industries spanning a mere few short years. Discuss that one too, Janine. We've heard Janine's strengths come from her background of including hospitality sector, live entertainment industry, industrial cleaning, and now parking with virtual administration, which is a very cool space to be hanging out. To say she has had a fair share of branding knowledge goes without saying. I'm going to read this again because that I didn't like the two says in there. Okay. All right, here we go. Hi, welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host, and I have the gorgeous Janine Fraser. I nearly said Janine Vosper then. Janine.
Okay.
It is the Janine show today. And we get confused sometimes. I was at an event today and someone said, "Hi, Janine Fraser, you're here, welcome." I've gone, no, it's the other Janine. Janine Fraser is a lady of many talents with extensive knowledge in many industries spanning a mere few short years. I think we might debunk the few short years of her experience. Janine's strengths come from backgrounds which include hospitality management, live entertainment industry, industrial cleaning industry, and now parking with virtual administration arena. To say she's had her fair share of branding knowledge, well, that goes without saying. Janine is sharing information today to see if a refresh of your brand is due in 2024. And how we look at branding in this might surprise you. Welcome, Janine. It's so good to have you on here.
Thank you, Janine, for having me. And hi, audience. Nice to have you listening in.
We've been talking about this for a while coming on, so it's really good that you could be here and share. There's so much that you love, and we'll go into this, that is not in my field of reality at all. It's sort of, okay, I think I might get someone else to do it. Oh, I know someone that can do it instead. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about what you actually do, and then we're going to look at why you do it and then how we might be able to help with some ideas with you.
Too true. So what I do in essence is an online business manager, or for want of a better word, virtual assistant, or what I tend to term myself, a business systems specialist. So it's all administration based. So anything you do in your business which covers your administration, day-to-day appointments, phone answering, follow-ups, creating systems, processes, and workflows for companies. So anything administration based, except for bookkeeping. I do not find numbers sexy like some.
I'm with you on that part of it too. That's why I love my bookkeeper. Okay, so you said this is branding in 2024. I'm confused. What's how does that connect with what you're talking about?
I know. I threw a curveball in there. I've had a couple of clients at the moment that I've stumbled across that you think they'd have all of their IP documented and all of it in place ready, that if they wanted to go to sale or if they got unwell and they needed someone to step into their business, nothing's documented, nothing's congruent, nothing's branded with logos, and certainly nothing is fitting their values, missions, and whatever the other one is, statements. It's all completely unbranded. So when I say let's look at your branding, even you're a branding specialist yourself, Janine. It's not just about your logos and the colors you wear and how you turn up. And you look at Nike and Woolworths and all them. Are they not congruent over everything? And they would have a look every 12 months, if not every 6 months, at what they do and how they hold themselves. So,
Yeah, so it's that operations part of it. It's that you're talking about, that does this represent, and even that real base on who you are, is that you build on that, and does that, are you doing, and are you projecting to the world, and are you representing that on a daily basis?
That's correct. As you teach, Janine, with the speak with confidence and being on brand, are your emails as eloquent as what you want them to be? And are they on brand with your values and missions and how you want to be perceived with the written word? Going down to email templates, going down to communications that you send in your text message. You need to have those scripts or those go-tos so that you're not reinventing the wheel every single day. And that's what branding and administration is, just as much as what it would be with your logo or anything like that.
I remember I went and listened to a coach for a day training, and two of the biggest takeaways for me that I for the day, one was to get a VA and to get someone to handle a whole lot of tasks that I just didn't have time for. And I don't want to say the word menial, but they were just repetitive, and they were something that I should be doing. And the other one was to put some systems in place. It was okay. And the advantage of that, I documented all of my social media marketing, so that then when I put my VA on, there was a system and there was instructions in place for her to be able to step into it. It's funny how that works, isn't it?
It works really, really well because you've got to get it out of your mind or get it out of where it is. And when you go to scale up, if you don't have anything documented anywhere, you've literally got to spend half your day finding what you want to teach your new team member. However, if you've got it all documented in a, this is how I do it, point by point, here are the URLs, this is the passwords, let's do a training session, I'll hold your hand. And then I'll let you loose and I'll supervise you from afar. You don't want to micromanage, but it comes down to all of that. I have the pleasure to help in a large company that you think the what we say standard operating procedures would be all done. But that company with those procedures already in there do not marry with the equipment that's sitting in the company. The equipment's being superseded, new equipment's come in, and I go to learn to do the equipment, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's no books on this. How do I do this? And what's the workflow? So, and then being a specialist in workflow, I've gone in there and there was actually no workflow. Things were going through the cracks and there was no put that there and that pile and mark that like that. But again, you don't have to think about it. And like you said, the double handling of things, if you have a specific workflow, then you do it the same way, your team does it the same way, the owner of the business, if they get to stand in from the CEO role, they will do it the same way.
It's so important. There's a whole lot of points that you brought up there, particularly about people understanding what the role entails. I remember when I stepped into the GM role. So I was out repping. I studied management, moved from the repping position into a GM, and that's often a mistake a business does, is promote someone from sales into a leadership role. It suits me, so that actually worked out well. The owner of the business was very insightful with who he positioned in different places. But there was a lot of admin tasks that I hadn't been doing and I hadn't been aware of. And I know I asked more than once how to do things. And so the admin team would get very frustrated, and a couple of people would really get quite annoyed because I was asking more than once how to do it. But there was no documentation that said this is how you do it.
Yep. Click there. So when I document things for customers or clients, depending on what I'm installing, is it's written click by click. Where to click? Go to file member, the file, look down three, click on that. And then this screen will come up and click on that. So it's written, then it's got pictures of where you're clicking. And then I actually do a video of each thing. So no matter which way that person deems to learn, I'm a very visual, colorful girl. So when I like to learn, black and white, straight over my head, boring as, how am I going to learn this in a real quick time? If I've got a video, I can pause that video and go, that's where she clicked. Sweet. Keep going, unpause, do the next step. So it gives that person confidence because it's three different ways to present the same outcome or to get to the same outcome. So we
I
can
love
do.
the video.
Yeah, the video is awesome, isn't it?
I was going to ask whether you do videos because I'm a huge YouTube fan. How do I add an extra page to WordPress? And I'll, go and really, is that simple? So I will go on and what I've learned about the back end of my website for someone, lacking a whole lot of, well, when I was at the in the other job, nobody would give me any of the technology stuff to do because I'd break things. And now I'm so far ahead of than most of those people would be, but it's through video, it's through a
Yeah, it
YouTube
gives
guide.
confidence. Like I'm at the moment in one of the businesses I'm working in, they've brought in another person to assist because three people that are there are sort of part-time. So we're sort of trying to structure the roles that there's two people on at all times, but then you've got to do four different roles. So I'm so lucky that I'm so in advance. And that lady, one of the ladies yesterday afternoon after I left, had an issue with doing something, and I'd shown her where the written part of the SOPs were, and I showed her how to find them digitally because it's not just written, it's digital as well. We're in a digital age. And she said today, she said, oh my goodness, she said, I thought, oh yeah, SOPs. And she said, I had to do this task, and I'm so glad that you had that documented in your folder, and I was able to get that task down. Now it's ready for courier. Like it's, she had no help but the book that I, that the procedures I've helped her. And I'm like, wow. And she's got experience in an industry where I've never been before. So I'm learning everything anew, and she's got experience, and she still didn't know how to use the software correctly to finish the task. So.
That's awesome, and it's and in our own business, for the sole traders, even this is absolutely vital because it even more so because everything is in your head. I'm teaching my husband how to do online banking at the moment.
Oh.
He has difficulty using a phone. He'll be punching numbers in and go, it's not working. Don't punch, just tap. You just touch, it's all good. And so I created a video on how, or a video to, as we did it, and just so that he can go back. He's got to try and find the video now, Janine. But that's,
God bless his cotton socks.
it is. There's so many things that even in your home, and this is what that I talked to someone the other day, and if you can find that interview with. Trying to think of the person's name, Desiree. It was talking about all these financial things that we've got, that your crypto and anything that other people may not have access to, and how they can access it if something happens to you. And if you're working with clients currently and something happens to you, if
That's right.
what are you doing? Yeah, it's so important to have things recorded.
Well, you do, and you would know that I've had challenges with my parents over the last couple of years, Janine, and that's where it's in your face. It's like, oh my goodness, why haven't my parents got all this in place? So, it's really mindful, not that you want to give all your details away, but to have it in a secure spot so that you can access the data you need at the time that problem, arises. because it's really stressful caring for people and then trying to find out how to access everything on their behalf. So.
Yes, my recommendation, just having spoken to Desiree, with if anything happens to, business partner or life partner or family, do not cancel their phone. Do
No,
not cancel their phone, because you've got your
yeah,
TFA on everything. That's so
that's
important
correct.
to keep that. I think that was the biggest learning out of all of that. I saw a video the other day of a father got his two children to teach him how to make a P&J sandwich. And it was so interesting because there's not enough detail. They had to keep going back again. And so he said, for example, they said, put the peanut butter on the top of the bread. Well, the top of the bread is the top of the bread. But
The crust.
he put the top on the top piece of the crust. And it said, even to the detail, put the knife in the jar. No, take off the lid of the jar. Put the knife in the jar. Well, then he just dropped the knife in the jar. They got very frustrated. Eventually, I don't know how many bits of bread and things they went through, but and it was a fun example of just how maybe detailed you need to be if someone hasn't done a task.
That's right. Funnily enough, I have someone that's sharing my home with me, and they are, 35 years of age, and they have never cleaned in their life. They've come from a background where their parents were quite comfortable and had help every week, if you know what I mean. So God bless their cotton socks. They said, "Do you want me to help clean?" And I thought, well, I'm not going to pass up this opportunity. What's the easiest thing that I could give that person? I gave them the vacuuming task, and to their credit, they did a good job for someone that's never even touched a vacuum cleaner in their life. But learning curve was steep, and they still pick the vacuum up to this day. They still don't do it to maybe my standard, but I always thank them, and I do not correct their cleaning in front of them.
Now that's such an important factor, isn't it? When you've got somebody doing other tasks, it's just I've got people I know in my life that don't live in my house, but they, related, and they'll go around and change the pegs on the clothes, or they'll do something differently. Hey, if someone's going to hang up the washing for me, and eventually it dries, however it's hung up, I'm happy with
Just
that.
be thankful for the help, I think, no matter how small or large the help is. So
And part of this comes down to we've only got a certain amount of hours in the day, Janine.
that is true. So outsourcing to those people or getting the knowledge from people that are experienced like ourselves, Janine, is the way to go. But you've got to be ready to let go, to not micromanage, to give a good brief. And those people that you're getting to help you within your business need to ask the pertinent questions so that they get a good grasp on the task that they've given you, that you're going to do it. I don't know about you, but I do things, try to do things the way the client envisages having them done. And then if it can't go that way, I show them why it won't work for them. And then they buy into the fact that, oh, okay, so what would you suggest?
Yeah, that's a good point, and particularly with systems or tasks, more so than the concept of how you might have a sales conversation, as I would have with someone. But you do come up with, well, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to work for me.
Exactly. So why have they retained you if they don't have the similar vision? I think in this day and age, especially with the industry I'm in, you've got to be flexible. You've got to have more than one solution for their issue, to their problem. Otherwise, you're not the right fit for them if they're not going to
No,
have
no.
listened to the advice or
It's
rely on the advice before they say, not working.
it's much easier and nicer to work with clients who go, that's a good idea. I'm going to adopt that.
Correct. That's correct.
But part of that is, I know for me, I have a calendar that helps a lot with when I'm booking things in. It sometimes gets a bit confusing when someone's booked. I've booked from their calendar, and then having to, then remove that time frame out of mine. But it saves me a whole lot where I can just send a link. You know, there's all these little, and that's a simple technology that everyone should be using really in business. But there's a technology really does come into play to save people time and effort and energy, doesn't it?
It does, it does. But do you come across a lot of people that have got far too much technology, and they have no clue what they're doing with it? That's another prime example. Someone's got their Calendly or Acuity, and then they've got this, then they've got that, then they've got this, and then you go to talk to them. And I know last night at networking, a lovely new client that I've come across, a beautiful person. 21 different cloud-based solutions.
What?
Yep, 21 different cloud-based solutions. They're an insurance broker, and they would use maybe two of those to the fullest extent, and then about a quarter of maybe five or six of them. And she's paying subscriptions to all of them. So the cost of running her business, what she foresees, that's what one thing I love doing is trying to save people money. Like, seriously. I was like, okay, let's start at the bottom and work our way up. What can we help you with? What's the most important, and let's map out your workflow in Lucid charts. Let's get that done so that we can work out what solutions are going to fit your new workflow, and then go backwards and unsubscribe to some, and maybe go the pro plan on others so that you can have the best of both worlds.
That the 21, I'm just
21. I was going to say a naughty word then, but I won't. I shite you not. 21 in email. This is what I've got.
that's I was stumbling over words. I had in the mo the previous interview, I spoke to someone who works with AI and with also with VAs, and we were chatting about, and I call it funding those. So there's certain technology that you will invest in, and there's other technology that is useless for you that you fund just for the and she said, isn't it spending? And I go, no, I like spending, but I'm very more selective on what I fund.
Hello. And that's a big, a big overhaul when you're looking at what you're doing. You could afford a VA if that one particular person maybe cut 10 or 12 apps or cloud-based solutions. She'd have the money to fund and get some professionals in to give her help where she really desperately needs it.
Oh, well, I'm glad she's found you, Janine. I think
Ah, so do I. It's going to be a pleasure helping her out, I can tell you. She'll see a difference and notice the bottom line expanding on her business.
just with that technology too, it's very important to be very aware of, yes, I paid the subscription for 12 months. Let me make sure that that subscription just doesn't roll over again. And I'm not aware of the date that that happens, and all of a sudden there's $1,500 out of your bank account, and you go, wow, what did that happen there?
And be wary as well. When you sign up to your subscription and you get a 3 month free trial, and they charge you 2 months in, and they go, oh no, and you can go, it's a 3 month free trial. Make a little note, or I put it in tasks so it pops back up when your subscriptions are due to be paid again. Because I kid you not, I'm sure sometimes some particular software takes money when they shouldn't be. And again, it's not 12 months sometimes, it's maybe nine, and they charge you, and it's like, what?
Yeah, I know. What I go through and do is I do the unsubscribe, or take out the automatic, or take out the credit card details where you can, or something to that effect, so that it just can't be as automatic. And yes, and keep the date. I know I've got something coming up in May with an automatic scheduling. And it's quite expensive, that one. And I'm just going to, most of the social media now has their own scheduling anyway, so it's not necessary to do that.
I got a bit savvy around that. I have one card that pays for online things, and I check at the start of each week what payments are coming out for what, and I load enough money into that one card that pays those payments for the week.
That's a great idea.
You're not getting overcharged. You know exactly what's coming out of your bank account, and they can't access any other money because there's no other money in that particular account at that given time.
Oh, that's a great idea. I do have one where I have a couple of charities, automatic charity donations coming out of. So I might start doing that. I think that's.
Yeah, and then in the back end, because I've got scammed about 12 months ago. They got quite a lot of money out of my account. Luckily, Commonwealth Bank had flagged that. It was like at 1 a.m. in the morning, and it was to do sports betting. And I flagged it.
Well, that who's up at 1 a.m. in the morning is.
Well, I don't gamble, so that was an easy one to get. I got the money back because I said, look back through the accounts, told them the story, and they said, well, yeah. And I said, well, it wasn't me. But yeah, so I lock accounts, I put a maximum withdrawal on it, whatever is, it every as you said, you're teaching Dad how to do banking the other day.
Yeah.
Just have a good
I'm
grasp of what
Dad,
to do.
Don, my husband.
Oh, sorry, Don. Yeah. But yeah, you have to get a bit savvy around all of that. And if a bank account for just online payments is what you need, well,
Yeah.
you need to
Yeah,
do.
no, that and that's a really good tip with that. The and I know one of the things I'm involved on a lot of committees, and particularly with PowerTalk Australia, which is a public speaking group. I'm in the club, I do the programming for one club. Apparently, I'm secretary for another club. I keep getting reminded of that when I turn up and oh, it's a business meeting. Yes, secretary Janine. I was away on holidays when that got nominated. That they
Oh, that's why they did
that's why
that.
they did that. Yes, I'm and on a cyber club. I coordinate the cyber club. I do the marketing for the organization. We've got nine meetup groups that I manage. I also have put my hand up to be the conference coordinator, which is in May. But there's as well as my business and doing all the things
Going to
that.
say, I know that I have that BUSY word in, etched in my brain, but my goodness, you just made me. You do.
Yeah, we actually had a thing last night at one of the club meetings, and it was what is your superpower? And
Organize.
mine is I just have clear compartments for things in my head, and I don't get overwhelmed. Oh, sometimes I do. I guarantee it when there's a whole lot coming at once. But 90% of the time I don't, even though there's a lot of tasks to get done. And it's because it's just clear. I'm not dwelling on, I've got to do this, I've got to go 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 do this. It just files in that compartment. And then I'll go, oh, okay, that needs to be done right now. And I'll do that now. And then I close that filing drawer and I open another filing drawer. It was only probably about 15, 20, 15 so years ago that I realized that not everyone does that. And I, yeah.
That's why I think we get along extremely well. I'm the same way. Like I do reminders though, because obviously with so much in your brain, I did back in the day I was a manager of a tuck shop and knowing exactly what's in the fridge, freezer and rough estimates. And then I went home at night thinking, yes, I can cook this for dinner for the family. And then I've walked in, looked through the fridge and freezer, I've gone, the wrong fridge and freezer.
Oh, you miss out at home, family.
Yeah.
The reason I brought that up is another way that I can get things done like that is I am very comfortable delegating to people. And it makes my, there's a few reasons for it. It makes it easier for me. But what I have found through delegation, it enables people to shine, enables them to learn, but also have that capacity to be the person that's achieved that result that you've asked
That's
for. And it's
giving them the confidence to assist you as well. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'm a fairly confident person. I can, walk into a room and talk to complete strangers and feel comfortable doing so. Some people that they would be as nervous as get out and anxiety to the head, and that's the worst thing they'd want to be doing. So if you can make someone comfortable in what they're doing when you delegate a task, which is through, with me, documenting the process and giving them a step-by-step in three different ways on how they can accomplish it by themselves, but I'm here if they want backup or if they want training. So, no, I agree.
I love that you do that, and it's all part of the systems. I'm a little bit of throw them in the deep end type of space, depending on what it is. I remember when I first started as a sales rep for this particular company, and I was given the stock and I was given the area to go to and a little tiny list of customers. That was it. And it was, we'll see you later. And it was all first aid products, which I knew what a Band-Aid and a bandage was, but trying to figure out what you might need to do a risk assessment for a business. And it was learn on the job. And I got very, very good at it and really successful. And within a couple of years, we're selling over $400,000 worth of Band-Aids in the territory. But it was, very much learn as you go. When I moved into a GM role, we started training people, and one person we trained, we spent a lot of time and effort training this person, and then he left before he really got into the job. And I said to the owner of the business, well, that was an absolute waste of time. You know, we don't train people normally, we just throw them in and get a job. We spent the time training this person and now he leaves. And I remember what the owner of the business said to me. He said, well, he could have stayed though. So it would have been worse if he stayed. So it was saying if we hadn't have trained him and he stayed, that was a problem as opposed to, okay, I get it now.
I don't know about you, but people are sent to you for a reason, no matter what it is, whether it's a short time, a long time, and if they do the job well, it's if they need new training, that's good for them. If they need to self-train, some people just don't take being told what to do. I don't know about you, but it's one of those things. That's why I feel a real niche of documenting things for people, because then it's going to cost them less in the long run.
Yes, and now I do the same in coaching. It's that step-by-step instead. But, it's an interesting concept. And I'm finding businesses are getting better at it, bringing in people like yourself and myself into businesses to recognize where there might be a shortfall and where they can help people fill that shortfall to get a better result, not only for the business, but for that person as well, and to build confidence in their capacity to do the work.
When you're immersed in the business, you can't see what's not connecting sometimes, and it takes that outside set of eyes that comes in and has gone, oh, gee, that's a bottleneck, you know, by stepping into the role and going, oh, my goodness, I don't have that invoice to go with those products. Then the client's got to wait when the client comes to pick those products up. So how can we tighten that up? How can we give 110% customer service in whatever business when you're handing over to the customer? Well, have the invoice ready for them. Have an FPOS with an FPOS role in it. Simple, basic things. Don't let everything run out to replenish, because you want your customer there, yeah, sure, but you don't want them rolling their eyes and, you know, muttering under their breath that your customer service sucks. So it's like anything.
No, and and we're very, very, very quick to complain on social media about bad service. I just read one where a lady with a guide dog wasn't allowed into a black and white taxi. I'm happy to say black and white taxi because that's what it was, and they wouldn't let her in with the guide dog. But that's going to go smashed all over social media because that's not, it's just really lousy service. And I'm sure, and that's the thing too, I'm sure the owner of the black and white cabs or the management of it, that would not be their policy. And this happened to one of the hotels where they wouldn't allow guide dog in. That wasn't their policy. It was that individual staff's member's opinion, or they got it wrong. And this is where that miscommunication and training can really make a difference to the success of a business. It just takes one staff member to get things wrong.
And thinking that if that staff member had a particular reason why he wouldn't allow an assist dog or a support dog in his cab, Did he, we're thinking problem solving, did he call another cab driver that would allow a dog into his cab?
No.
Yes, he's going to give, he lost the fare anyway because he wasn't going to transport that person and the assist dog. So wouldn't you want to retain that fare within your company? Even though you said no, you're still good at giving good customer service and the client gets an outcome that they desire.
I think not everyone thinks like you and I, Janine. It's okay.
Well, that was just basic, you know, courtesy maybe.
I know. It's this problem solving. I was sitting next to someone today at a breakfast meeting, and at these meetings, you have a little number to identify what type of breakfast you're having. And hers, she was a visitor, and hers had fallen off. And I said, and it was quite a really busy meeting, and I said to her, "Do you, your number's fallen off? If you don't have a number, you won't get a meal."
Yeah.
And then I said, "You know, do you know what you're having?" And then I called the waiter over as they were bringing out other meals to get him to talk to her, so she could at least he would know what type of meal she was having. I know it's just I could have sat there and done nothing.
Yeah.
But it's not my style. I know it definitely isn't your style either. And here's a problem. If it's not solved, there could be an issue, and you know someone's could walk away very disappointed. Like, can I help? And can I help solve it? And I think that is that a lot of that courtesy, which unfortunately I'm not seeing as much of.
It comes in spits and spats, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but, you know, we're so quick to say, oh, my goodness, we've had a bad day. If you can bring a smile and raise people up and make them have a better day, you don't know what they've dealt with it, you know, prior to getting to breakfast. And by you showing a little bit of courtesy and caring to make sure she gets a meal, she'll remember that. Oh, you know, Janine's a lovely lady. She got me sorted this morning. I didn't go hungry.
No, it was
everyone has challenges all day, and if you can be kind and help someone out no matter what it is, pay it forward at the coffee at Zarapa's. I'll have a free one if anyone's behind or in front of me.
You paid for someone's meal yesterday who was one of your clients that you'd supplied to, and so she was so, and you weren't there when she went to pay for her meal and her coffee had been paid for. She was so appreciative. It was just really lovely to see.
Money's money, and sometimes, you know, you can't help in big donations for charities and things like that. But, you know, when you have, if you can pay something forward and just appreciate, I appreciate her for taking me on as a client. And I'm sure when we go out next time together, she might buy me another coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just making sure that she felt supported and at ease. And what's the cost of a coffee?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Talking about, you know, knowing how a business can diffuse something, I was trying to call through to one of the banks and they don't have anyone answering on the other end anymore, basically. So I was trying to get into an account that it wouldn't accept my account details and password, and it kept telling me no matter what button I pressed, and I've tried them all, how I did it, it kept saying go online and do this. I'm going, that's the bloody problem. I can't go online and do this. And oh my gosh, I was so frustrated. I had this 10-minute window then before I had to go somewhere. And I thought, right, I'm going to the bank. I'm going to get this sorted. And so I've gone into the Westpac bank, and there was hardly anyone there. And I was able to go nearly straight up to the counter, and I've just gone bleh, at this poor girl behind the counter, because it was nearly 30 minutes of this muck around
stress.
Yeah. And then the little chat thing, I can't help you with that. I can't help you with that. I can't help you with that. And I then her manager was there, or someone was over his shoulder, and I, you know, I said, oh, it's online, there's no one in. She said, yeah, it's really annoying, isn't it? And she diffused it within two statements. And then because it was me, and I know, and I'm observing myself do this, and I thought, I don't care. And then I'm observing going, that was so clever. You did such a good job of that.
Have you put a disclaimer on stuff before? I've been known to say that, like your scenario, then you went to the bank and the lady behind the counter got a very animated Janine Vos. But disclaimer, look, I mean no rude or no ill effect. However, this is the challenge I've had today. Disclaimer, it's not going to be pretty.
I didn't even get to the disclaimer part, but that's a really good idea. But at that customer service, that that's what we're talking about is in this
Correct.
conversation, is getting that right and being.
Helping clients, giving it stellar customer service, giving follow-ups, and as you know, always ask for a referral. Who do you know that's in the same challenge as what you have?
There's a subject I teach called spiral dynamics, and people, it's different based on people's decision making through their value system, and we can go into red. And I jumped into red for a minute or so, and it was, how do you diffuse a red? Well, you do exactly what she did, and that's what I was admiring. This is really good.
Yeah, make sure you go back to that bank and make sure the employees can do exactly what she did. Here you go.
Yeah, that would be. And then she said, and we did something, reset it, got in there, checked it again, checked again. She said, I'll give you a call later and make sure it's all still working and everything. And which she absolutely did, which was brilliant. So I went down with
Excellent.
the intention of withdrawing all my money out of Westpac and not doing it. Not that I have much. That's
Then
my
we want to go on shopping.
odd credit card that doesn't belong to anything else. There was nothing in there anyway. It would have been more inconvenient for me if I hadn't done it, what I was going to do. Part of what you suggest to people is to get a VA, is to get someone to help. And it's not just you and your business, is it, Janine? It's.
Not at all. I support other VAs that support me as well. So if it's not my strong suit, I have a couple of other, well, I call them friends now. I met them through networking or online. I've had the privilege to work beside them. We've shared clients, and I really have confidence to match whomever needs an issue sorted with the person that would be best suited to sort it out. So, building those referral partners are definitely well worth it because then they do, the reciprocity comes back to me. And yep, Janine's strong suit is this, this, and this in their eyes. And, an email comes in and says, hey, I either don't have time or this is not my ideal client, but I think they will gel well with you. Would you like to have a conversation? So, yeah.
The advantage of having local VAs, I mean, it's your business, so yes, there's going to be,
There's several though, Janine. And I don't mean any, as Mark Grant would say, I don't mean any disrespect, but offshore VAs typically, not all the time, typically are task-based. They need quite a lot of supervision. They need direction, typically. Not everyone's like that. However, myself, with the experience and business of running the commercial cleaning for 16 years and being hospitality trained and being coming up through the workforce as a service-based professional, working in Red Spot Boutique and everywhere else that I've had the pleasure to be, you have the knowledge of running a business behind you. So when you're talking tasks, administration tasks, I've then got the knowledge to say, okay, you want this. This is where you are. How do you foresee to get there? And I had one lady today. She's in the health and wellness space. And I said a couple of questions to her after we had the conversation. She said, oh my God, you ask so many different questions. Why do you want to know that? Twice she said that. And I said, well, this is the reason why I need to know it. And she's gone, oh, okay, sweet. And then she'd answer the question. Like, it's like, how is that relevant to what you need? And it's like, ah.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I'm always in for asking questions. You learn a lot more by asking questions than speaking. We were going to mention why you got into the your why about it, and you can, for anyone listening, can hear the it's passion about people more so than, I'm going to put a system in place. It's that. But what got you here, Janine?
What got me here? Well, in blunt, and a lot of people know I'm single after how many years, 26 years of wonderful life. And the breakdown, the overstress and the growing apart, I would hate to see other families go through what I did and be rest assured, completely amicable with my ex-husband. Completely. We still have family dinners with our adult children, but I didn't really want to be where I am at the young age that I am after so many years of building a business that was, huge.
Yeah.
The reason why I stepped away from the business was due to injury, ill health, and burnout. And part of that burnout was not having workflow systems. I was working 6.5 days a week. You know, I broke my body, and you could say I broke my mind. So it's like, what else am I good at? I had a couple of conversations with a good friend who's a business coach, and they said, well, what do you want out of life now? You're at this age. And I said, I want A, B, and C. And they said, you know what, have you ever thought about doing this? And I've gone, no, I don't know enough about that. And they said, well, I think you do. You're managing my hot desk office how many days a week, because, you know, that's sort of what you're doing for me. You know a lot about that. And got some more help from a couple of other people that I've networked with for many years. And you could say the rest is history, 4 years in and going extremely well. So,
yeah, I just keep seeing you go from strength to strength. And I think, you know, what I see is people trust that you can make those life changes for them, that you can help take a lot of the stress and worry about it. And I hear people talk about that. And I think that's such an important aspect of, you know, it's that why, isn't it? It's that mission. That this is something that I talk about all the time, is why are you doing what you're doing? And is what you're doing aligned with who you are and your values? And I see that very much. The tasks of what we do is really irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I could have gone back to hospitality with extensive wine knowledge and managing restaurants and all the rest of that, but that's not where my lie would. I could have gone into functions coordination and sales and marketing of the function spaces and stuff like that. But again, it's not really what I want. And I'm thinking, well, I like to be challenged. And as you know, I've done a couple of years of professional learning, like, you know, most of us do, to make sure that our knowledge is up to date and, you know, what we can access for our clients. And it's like, well, how much more can I learn in the hospitality industry? I like learning. Throw me in, you know, I'm going from a finance person to two people that are in health and wellness, about four people in trades and builders service. I'm doing a myriad of industries now in what I do as a business. And it's like, wow, I never actually stopped learning now. So, not even, you know, it's a challenge. There's a challenge that I can help these people have more time off with their families and then have time for themselves.
And that's absolutely a big why. Janine, we could, and we have in the past, talk for hours. Everything you've been sharing has been so valuable. If we want to wrap up with three definite takeaway tips, can you share what those are? Or I can help you with the ones that you shared with me. The first one you said was due diligence. So what does that look like for you?
Do your due diligence. So in relation to employing contracted staff, VAs, contracted bookkeepers, talk to a lot of people around you. The bookkeeper that works for Lady A might not be a great fit for the bookkeeper that works for Lady B. Mm. Is Lady A BAS accredited? Lady B might not be. So due diligence. And you want to, as we spoke before, you want to resonate with your new clients. You want to be on the same page with people. Why would you work for someone that you butt heads with 24/7? You know, due diligence is amazing. Do some research before you maybe do a trial run with person first.
Yeah, that's a great point. I know with a client, she was after some names of bookkeepers and accountants, and she had no idea where to start. So I gave her a couple of each, and that way it was up to her. And she said, oh, that one resonated. That one didn't, but that one resonated with me. So that's really important to do that.
Right, list of your top requirements of the job you're trying to scope for, or of the tasks that you want taken over.
Yeah.
You must be able to, and don't budge on that, because you're not going to be happy if you've got a list of six things and they only tick three out of the six. It's the wrong person for you.
Yeah. Oh, you know where I went straight with that is choosing our partner. I got that list. I got that the tick. Talking about that, the next thing you said is create lists.
Oh my goodness. And digital lists. And I still write things down on pen and paper. But, you know, digital lists and milestones. I had the privilege of listening to Deborah Chantry Taylor. And you're going to kill me because I can't remember her course that she had. But she teaches you about, you mentioned before, hiring the right person for the job and doing your scorecards and things like that, but breaking down the task you want to get down and put them into stepping stones. So each little step to get that task finished. So if the task is not finished in 7 days, if you do one step per day every 7 days, that task will get finished.
Yeah.
If you leave it as a whole task, nothing's going to get finished and it will still sit there on your to-do list.
Yeah, I'm very much an advocate of that, and that's something I work with my mastermind group is 90-day plans. I
that's
have 90 days, we break it down a month, we break it down into weeks, and we break it down into days.
And days. And the other thing I started doing too, everyone writes a to-do list. I write out what I've accomplished for the day list. I know what I've got to do, and I get extreme anxiety about, oh, my God, I only got two done. Oh, my God, you know, and it's like, no. Write down what you actually accomplished.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. You'd be amazed. At the end of each day, write down exactly what you did. You accomplished making your bed, brushing your teeth, having your shower. Get all those personal items out 5, of
5,000 steps before breakfast.
Hello. Flows into, right, I got this done, you know, I got calls done, I got this done, I got blah, 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 blah. When I write lists, because I then, as a VA, have to account for the time that I spend on people's businesses, and it's amazing the lists that come out every time I do something for clients in a lot of time set. It's like, okay, I've got quite a bit done there today.
And recognizing that you have achieved. I know when I was repping, I would print out all of the clients because they were regular first aid restocking. Some were 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, weekly, whatever. And so I'd print out for the month who I needed to see that month. I didn't cross out them as I went through them. I highlighted them. It was totally visual. Thing was, the highlight was an achievement. If I had crossed them out, that was like deleting a customer.
Well, it is, and it feels final, if you know what I mean. You don't want it final because you're going back there.
Yes, yeah.
It's, it was for now. I've done you for now. I'll be back in 3 months or 6 months.
Correct. And the final thing that you point you were going was trial runs before formal commitments, which is sort of a little bit what you've talked about as well.
Oh, yes. With most of my clients, if it's a contract, I've got a large contract on at the moment, and I did exactly that, 30 days from here to here. This is what is within that contracted time or budget. This is what we do. So we got through the trial run, and then I said, okay, Christmas is coming, then January, looking at how many weeks or days that are down with no income, because obviously we all stop for a holiday. And then I recontracted for a second trial run.
Okay.
Because it gives you not just an opt-out, but it gives you an end date. And then when we get to that end date, the 29th of January, let's see where we're both standing.
And that's important for yourself as well, going, okay, that was an interesting month, but I'm glad it's only a trial. I'm out of here.
Exactly. But it gives you reflection, because then you've got to come back with that client, if someone's hiring me, and go, what has she accomplished? This is where we write our lists. Keep accountable of what we've accomplished. But it gives you a reset, so the client and you can sit down, have that conversation, and go, right, what's on your next 30 days or going forward? Should we go for a quarter this time? Let's do 3 months. But what it gives you is a time to adjust what the parameters are or what the tasks they want you to accomplish, or whether it's no thank you, you know, you've done a great job right now, but A, my budget might not hold your contract, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But it gives you those stepping stones to see, Because there's no way that I want someone coming to me saying, I really can't afford you. When if they'd said that at the end of the second trial run, we could have said, well, what do you desperately need? Let's see what's within your budget so you've still got support. Unless I'm shit at my job, which, you know, if I am, I shouldn't be that.
I wouldn't believe that, Janine. It's certainly not here across the board.
But it really just makes everything real, and it makes you accountable as the employer and as the contract help coming in. So.
You know, an important point about that is what I find, if somebody actually says that, but they've already been contracting you in the past, there's more to it, and don't take that as it's about you, because it's usually about them.
Well, I don't. And, you know, I always say to people, I can't read minds, and that is a fact. I cannot read someone's mind.
Oh, I can.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah.
What, did you ask me for a wine? No, sorry.
I've still got more steps to do, yeah.
True, true. So, yeah, and the other thing is I don't take things to heart anymore. Back when I was a lot younger, it's like, oh, why did they do that? And, you know, and stress factor and manga. And it's like, you know what? They have their opinion and that's what it is, and I can't change that, and I certainly don't want to know what it is. But I don't take things to heart. Like you won't upset me easily, and if you do, it's more than likely the language you've chosen, not the actual outset of what they've said. So
yeah again, we could just keep talking, Janine. If somebody wants to get in contact with you, find out what you can offer, can you share your info, please? That'll also be in the show notes, but if you want to,
thank you so much. Yes, you can contact me on phone, and it is I'm Gold Coast based, but that's fine because I do nationally. It is 07 55 86 2227. And then email address is info@beyondbusinessconsultants.com.au.
I think that's a great way to get in contact with you, is that info@beyondbusinessconsultants.com.au. Again, all the information will be in the show notes. And Janine is, you know, worth just having a conversation to see, is this something that'll benefit you and your business also, and how she might direct it. So thank you so much for your expertise and information and conversation today, Janine.
It's been a pleasure, Janine. Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm sure we'll have a bit of fun when we see each other in person again.
Most definitely. Thank you. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember to go to janinebosper.com and book a strategy call. Have a conversation, and I really want to be able to help you. We're talking about mission statements. My mission is to enable people to do what they don't believe is possible. That's what I do all the time. One of the reasons I do the podcast is for exactly that reason. I'd love to be able to help you do what you don't think is possible. And the thing is, because I know so many amazing people, and through the podcast particularly and through the networking, if I can't help you, I can find somebody, the right person for you as well. I'd love to be able to do that. So janinebosper.com. Till next time, be well, be happy, and I was going to say be fruitful.
Be good at it.
Have a great week, month, wherever you are in the world. Bye-bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.